2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we're going to begin today. I want to look at this subject of honoring God through stewardship. Honoring God through stewardship. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Father, we thank you for that beautiful song that Laurie sang. And Father, how true it is. We have no way of knowing when we step on the other side of this life and step into glory and see how many people that you've allowed us to influence their lives that come to know Jesus Christ, whether it be through our testimony here or whether it be, Father, through giving and the work that is done on the mission field, through Samaritan Purse, or so many different ways that we have an opportunity to give. And Father, one day we'll see the result of all that faithfulness, Lord, as we come face to face with people we've never seen, but Father, they know Jesus because of the faithfulness of your people to give. Now, guide us through this scripture today, Father. Help us to see the importance of honoring you through our stewardship. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is one subject that is not very popular usually to speak about in church, it is the subject of money. But it's very important. It's a very important subject because it reveals our spiritual growth and our relationship with the Lord. Throughout Scripture, we're encouraged to give the first part of our resources to God as an expression of our honor and gratitude towards Him. Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflow with wine. God is interested in our stewardship. Over and over, the Bible speaks about our stewardship. Now, understand, God does not need our money. God is God, and He owns everything. And God is not interested in what we have, but He's interested in who we are. And God wants us and wants to bless us. And He does that through our stewardship. Of the 38 parables that Jesus taught, 16 of them deal with stewardship. About one out of every 10 verses in the New Testament deal with the matter of stewardship. In the New Testament, there's 500 verses that deal with faith, 500 verses that deal with prayer, and there's over 2,000 verses in the New Testament deal with stewardship in some way or fashion. And so I would say it's an important subject that we need to look at today. When you think about giving, being good stewards of our finances, the question usually arises, how do I know what to give? When we look back at the Old Testament, we see that the people of Israel began by giving a tithe. The tithe is not a part of the law because the giving of the tithe was practiced by Abraham back in Genesis chapter 14 when he gave a tithe to Melchizedek long before the law was ever established. But understand this about the nation of Israel. They were required to give a tithe, but if you read through the Old Testament and you'll see all the other offerings that they were responsible to giving, it was far greater than just 10%. But I think that the tithe is a good starting point when we think about giving. What shall I give? How much shall I give? I think a tithe is a very good starting point. But I want us to look at giving this morning from another perspective. We're saved by grace. We're to live by grace. And I believe that the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that our giving should be by grace. By grace. It's a wonderful thing when Christians enter the grace of giving. When we believe what Jesus has said, that giving is more blessed than receiving. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, let each man do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Dr. Adrian Rogers was a great pastor from Bellevue Baptist Church. He's with the Lord today. And he wrote this. He said, no gift or tithing can please God if it does not come from a loving and surrendered heart to God. Giving by grace. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians there, chapter 8 there. And the first thing I want us to look at today is the purpose of giving. If you look there in verse number 4, Paul is talking about the church, and he says that they were urging him to be able to give this gift to the church. Why? For the ministering of the saints, the purpose of the giving. That's a major, one of Paul's major ministries in his third missionary journey was to take up this special relief offering for the poor Christians in Judea. But Paul realized that the great blessing that would come as a result of faithful believers giving generously. And giving out of your blessings, folks, enables the church. Giving out of grace, giving out of the blessings that God has given to you enables the church to continue its work in the kingdom. The church is able to reach out in the immediate areas that we have here in Elkton here, but also the work that we do through giving to the missionaries all around the world. Through our giving, our ministering by giving, we're reaching people not only here, but in foreign countries, people that we'll never see and on the side of glory. But the most important reason, folks, that we should be giving to the work of the Lord, the most important reason why we should be practicing stewardship, as I stated before, it honors God the Father. That is the most important part is why we give, because it honors the Father. Giving is God's way to enrich us. And I'll say this, and I used to lecture my girls this way. You can never outgive God. And when we fail in the area of stewardship, of giving out of what God has given to us, we rob God, we rob missions, we rob those in need, we rob ourselves. Listen to this Old Testament passage, which you'll be familiar with in Malachi chapter 3. Listen to what God says in verse 10. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be room enough, there will not be room enough to receive it. God says, try me, bring your offerings. Bring your offerings to the church and watch me bless you. I read this statement. It said our offerings ought to be brought to God's house on God's day. That God's work will be done, here it is, in God's way. That's giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, here in this chapter, Paul addresses stewardship and he appeals to the highest spiritual level possible. He taught that giving was and is an act of grace. Paul used 9 different words in this chapter here to refer to offering, to giving. But the one that he used the most, folks, is the word grace. And I'm saying that for this reason. Our motivation for giving to the work of the Lord should come from the grace of God that is in our hearts. That should be our motivation for giving. So what does it mean to give by grace? If you look at verse number 1 and verse number 2, the first thing I see there is that we need to give generously. Paul writes, now, moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial and affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded in their riches of their liberality. We were to give generously. Now, before Paul makes a plea here to the Corinthians' participation there, he reminds them, he tells them here about the actions of the churches in Macedonia. He may be speaking about the churches in Philippi or Thessalonica or Berea or some of the others. And he calls their participation in the offering the grace of God. We take steps in our Christian growth through stewardship, folks, when we begin to view giving not as something being taken from us, but rather as opportunities to act with godly grace. Notice here in chapter 8, verse number 1, when they were given generously, their circumstances did not hinder their giving. The church that Paul was using as an example here had experienced severe difficulty. Yet the Bible says here they gave generously. They not only had some afflictions, the Bible says they had great trials and afflictions. And on top of that, the Bible says that they were in deep poverty. And that little phrase, their deep poverty, in the Greek there means they were at rock bottom destitution. In other words, the word was used to describe a beggar who had absolutely nothing and had no hope of getting anything else. This was their condition at that particular time, but yet they still gave. They still gave. And they gave joyfully and with liberty. The Macedonians experienced overflowing joy because of their giving. They considered it a joy to share in this service to the saints. And folks, when we experience the grace of God in our lives, then we will not use difficult circumstances as an excuse not to give to the work of the Lord. I think there's some lessons that we can learn from this, learn from giving generously by grace. First of all, our giving reflects a heart of love and obedience that produces a sense of joy. When you give out of your love and in obedience to the word of the Lord, the result of that is joy in your heart. When we give, you're imitating God who gave. God has given you everything that you have today. And he has given us the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins. And so when we give back to the work of the Lord, by the grace of God in our hearts, we're doing what? We're imitating God. When we give, we know that our offerings and our gifts are used by God to bless and to build up the kingdom of God. When we give here at the church and our two different offering things here, you know, we know that what we give today will go the further the kingdom of God. Now, I know we live in some financially challenging times. And I hope they settle this debt thing so my Social Security check keeps coming, you know. But even in these challenging times, there are tremendous spiritual opportunities to give. And to give generously. But for us to give generously in these difficult times, folks, we must have unwavering faith. We must believe that God's word is what God's word says. And if God says he's going to take care of all of my needs, then I need to have faith in that. And giving by grace means giving generously in spite of my circumstances. Why? Because I have faith that God is going to take care of all of our needs. I remember when our girls were small and I would get paid and stuff, and you pay the bills. You know how it is when you got young kids and all of that. I remember one time telling my daughters, I said, come here, I want to show you something. And they came down. I said, look, I got $2 left over. Well, that is not much. I said, it's enough to get a cup of coffee. God took care of all my needs and gave me an extra cup of coffee. You know, that may sound a little ridiculous, but I wanted my kids to see that God took care of our needs. And even if they took care of the needs, there's a little bit left. Why? Because we gave generously. We gave what God has purposed in our hearts to give. But here's another thing. You need to give enthusiastically. That's what he says there in verse number 3 and 4. I love this. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us. In other words, begging us with urgency that we would receive their gift of fellowship to minister to the saints. Folks, it's impossible to give generously, but not. It is possible. It's impossible to give generously, but not enthusiastically. I read this statement that said this: the preacher says I should give until it hurts, but for me, it hurts me just to think about it. You know, you ever been there for that? You know, oh, The churches in Macedonia were spirit-motivated and participated. The Bible says here on their own in this relief fund. This was a special offering that was taken up. They were more than willing to share in the collection. In fact, they begged to be included. Paul says, wait a minute, you know you're in poverty. You guys are going through so much. And they said, Paul, don't worry about that. Man, we're ready. You come and get the money. We're ready to give to the help of the saints there. We're ready. And Paul shares this with the Corinthian church before reminding the Corinthians that they were supposed to be taking place in this as well. And the Bible says here they gave according to their ability and beyond their ability. Sometimes givers look for limits, and the question is, what must I give? Others look for opportunities, and the question is, what can I give to? I think that's the last one is the best one. What can I give to? Now understand this, and Paul speaking about giving here, he doesn't command them. He doesn't say, hey, you must do this. Because if you look down at verse number 8, he says, I speak not by commandment. He's encouraging the Corinthian church to give. To give like the other churches were given. He said, I'm not commanding you to do this. And he did not command the church of Macedonia to do this. He was encouraging the give, and they persistently asked Paul, let us be part of that offering. Let us be part of giving to the needs of those Christians back in Judea. I wrote here in my notes, can you imagine a pastor's joy over church members who keep asking him, what can we give to, Lord? What can we do, Pastor? What can I give to this week? What can I get? I'll give you a list, you know. But think about that. Paul here, the church of Macedonians were saying, Paul, we know our condition, but we're excited. We're excited about giving to the work of the Lord. Let us help minister to the saints. Why? And the NIV, verse 4, is translated this way. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They saw giving financially, giving sacrificially, giving, they saw it as a privilege. Giving should not be a duty that we grudgingly perform, but a privilege in which we joyfully participate. We should have joy in our heart every day when we go by and boop, drop it in that box. Joy. It's a privilege to give back what God has given to us for the work of the kingdom. They gave because, the Bible says, because they had experienced the grace of God. Listen to what Dr. Wiersbe says. He says, the grace of God will open your heart and your hand. Your giving is not the result of cold calculation. Got to figure that 10% out. No. Giving is not the result of a cold calculation, but a warm heart of jubilation. I get to give to the Lord today, and my giving is going to help some person somewhere come to know Jesus Christ. They gave generously and enthusiastically. They wanted to give. But folks, we need to give an example of following the Lord as well. If you look at verse 5 through 9 down there, the Bible tells us in verse 5, and not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. We need to follow the example of the Lord. We need to give ourselves to God. And when we give our lives over to God, then God will use us to be effective in other lives. Dr. Adrian Rogers writes, before you give money, you have to give yourself. God is not raising money. God is growing Christians. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge and to love him. And so before they even gave a dime, Paul makes the fact that they gave themselves to the Lord. They wanted to give to make all, they wanted to make all their lives available to God. To use it for God, here is my life. Use me to do this. I like Lori's song about the Sunday school teacher that taught and that young boy trusted Christ. Lord, let me be used to teach this Sunday school. Lord, let me be used to work in Vacation Bible School. Lord, help me to be used to witness to my neighbor. And Lord, what can I give to the work of the Lord today? They wanted to make their entire lives available to the Lord. And if we give ourselves to God, folks, when we first give ourselves to God, we will have little problem giving out of the substance that God gives to us. Their participation in the offering proved to be more than Paul had hoped for. They exceeded his expectations, perhaps not only in what they gave, but their attitude in giving. We need to follow or give ourselves to God and to others, and our giving should be motivated by love. Look at verse 7, would you? He says, "But you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and in your love for us, that you may abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others." Our giving should be motivated by love. Christian love must not be limited to just saying words, even kind words. Love is best defined by our loving deeds that we do. Paul reminds them in all of their spiritual blessings. Corinthian church, if you read through the book of Corinthians, you'll see that church was really blessed. And he reminds them of their blessing. He reminds them of their faith and their speech and their knowledge and their diligence. And he even reminds them of their love for him. But he wanted them to add one more virtue to their list: the grace of completing the offering. You know, Corinthian church, you have an opportunity to take out of what God has given to you, because there are some saints in Judea that need your help. You need to give to them as well. Add this to your list. And so Paul argued that since they were so wonderfully gifted by God, they ought to want to give even more. The Corinthians were certainly blessed by God, and their blessings should have motivated them to share the love of God with those who had a special need. And folks, when we come back, just sit back and think of the blessings that we have. The blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It should cause us to give not only in obedience to the word of the Lord, but to give sacrificially as Christ has given to us. True Christian service has its foundation in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are to be an expression of his life. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was rich with all the treasures and the glories of the Godhead, yet exchanged all of that. We can't even begin to imagine what heaven is like. But he gave up all of that. Being worshipped by the angels, he gave it all up to come and be a sacrifice for you. He left behind all the wealth of heaven and accepted the poverty of life on the earth for one reason. He loved you. He loved you and was willing to give his life for you. And so when we give to the work of the Lord, not grudgingly, but we give out of our love for Jesus Christ and our love for others, we're giving by grace. And we give that when we give, it's an evidence of our love. It gives evidence of our love for Christ. It gives evidence of our love for those servants who have ministered to us, love for those who have special needs that we can help, but also love for the lost. When we give sacrificially, we have no idea whose life we're going to make an influence on. We have no idea. We were talking about the shoe boxes that we hand out. There was a special meeting about that yesterday. And I know Phyllis went to that. How many young children come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody sacrificed to go to the dollar store and spend a few dollars to put a couple little things in a box and give it to a child? Didn't cost that much, but it made a difference in a child's life. Why do we do that? Because we love the Lord. He loves us. He sacrificed himself for us, and so we give sacrificially to the Lord. When we were lost and totally bankrupt before the Lord, God gave himself for us. And through faith in him, we are now children of God. We're joint heirs with God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And since that is true, how can we refuse to give to others? We need to be following the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you. Understand this, and this is important. It's important to understand this, that God looks, or I should say it this way, God sees the heart gift, not the hand gift. God sees the heart gift, not the hand gift. Listen to the words of Jesus from Mark chapter 12, verse 41. It's now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put it in. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which made a quartus. And so he called his disciples to himself and said, assuredly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. They would come and they would give money to the Lord, and they would put the money in this thing, and it would clang, 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 going down into the treasury. And those that are rich were making sure they put a lot in there so you could hear it clang. And think about that. Everybody's standing there hearing all this noise of this money clanging down. And then this widow comes up and goes, ding, ding, two little pennies. That's all she had. That's all she had. And Jesus said her gift was far more valuable than theirs. Why? Because she gave it out of her heart. She gave it out of her love. You know, she gave it out of her poverty. God sees the heart gift, folks. He doesn't see the hand. I like what Dr. Wiersbe says. He says, if we could have given more and did not, God notes it. If we wanted to give more and could not, God also notes that. When we give willingly according to what we have, then we are practicing giving by grace. Giving by grace. Giving by grace, folks, is a matter of faith. We obey God, believe that He will meet all of our needs as we help meet the needs of others. That's what it means to give by grace. By faith, I give to God's work so that what He has given to me will help meet the needs of somebody else. And responding in faith, saying, I know whatever I give, He will still take care of me. Now turn over to chapter 9 if you're still in 2 Corinthians, because I want to share with you the promise of giving, and I'll be done. Verse 6, he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. When we give to the work of the Lord, when we give to the work in the kingdom, we are blessed as well as those that are receiving the gift. And Paul states a very well-known proverb of his time, ye reap what you sow. He emphasized to the Corinthians that they were not under any biblical law in the matter of giving. The Holy Spirit was to guide the conscience of the individual giver. The Holy Spirit. Folks, I believe that. That our giving should be in response to what the Spirit of God lays upon our heart. Paul says here that we reap what we sow, but we must sow with the right attitude. The individuals had the responsibility in God to do what God had purposed in their hearts. And no one was to lord it over them. You will never hear us here at First Baptist Church come and say to you, you know, you need to give this much, or you need to give that much, or we're going to take pledge cards this week, you know, and we're going to hold you to it, you know. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Why? Because your giving is between you and God. I've always made it my practice in the ministry, and I've been in the pulpit for 35 years. I've never looked at anybody's giving records. Never. I've never asked. It's none of my business of how much anybody gives. I have never done it, and I will not do it. Why? Because giving is between you and the Lord. You are to search your heart and ask the Holy Spirit of God to guide your heart and do. And he says here that God loves a cheerful giver. Those who will give joyfully, you know, expressing contentment in the way that God has blessed them. We're not to give grudgingly or under compulsion. One man put it this way, we must not be sad givers who give grudgingly or mad givers who give because we have to. We should be glad givers who cheerfully share what we have because we have experienced the grace of God. And God has promised you there in verse number 8 that he is active in your life, and God will use our giving as opportunities to make grace flow, overflow. He's able. And we can never outgive God. God is able to give his people everything that they need to excel in every good work. I read this statement that said, give with the expectation that God will faithfully supply whatever you need so that you can abound in good works. In other words, as I give, God will give back to me so that I can do even further greater works in his kingdom. That's the way it works, by giving by grace. I'm going to read Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 once again. He says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse, the church. I don't believe there's anything wrong with giving to other ministries, which we do. But he says, bring the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And now listen to what he says, and try me now in this. Try me. See if I won't open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be that there will not be room enough to receive it. God says, bring the tithes. Bring them to the church. And he says, I promise you this. When you give out of a heart of grace to the Lord, giving with the knowledge that what you're giving is out of God's rich blessings to you to further the kingdom of God, then God himself says he will open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings on you until it overflows. If I read something like that, I'll always ask the question, do you really believe that? I do. I really do. Giving by grace, folks, is giving to the work of the Lord. It's more than just figuring out, how much do I need to give today? No, it's not just about the tithe. That's a good starting point. I tell young Christians that when they ask me, how much shall I give? And I tell them a good starting point. But giving, folks, is about grace. It's because of God's grace in our lives that we need to give. We need to give generously in spite of our circumstances. We are to give enthusiastically, looking forward to what God is going to do in his kingdom. We need to give sacrificially, giving ourselves to the Lord first and then to others. But our folks, listen to us. Our giving should come from a willing heart and by our faith in the Lord. That's where the giving needs to start. It starts here. Remember, you cannot outgive God. And he is pleased when you give with a smile on your face. The more we sow, the greater the increase. Look at verse 10 and I'll be done. Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. As you give, God will increase. And God will never forget your good works, and that includes your generosity. And so today we give. We give to meet the needs of our church here. We give the needs to minister to others. I thank God for your faithfulness here, this church, for its giving. This church is a loving church. We not only love one another in our fellowship with one another, but that love is expressed through the way folks give here. You guys have been very, very faithful to give. That's why I very rarely speak about money in the church. But because of your giving, understand this, that work is being done right here in Elkton. Work is being done right here in Elkton. Work is being done around the world in the missionaries that we are able to support. New churches are being started in America. Why? Because you give. It's because of your giving that we are fulfilling what Paul in the Old Testament says about us taking care of widows. Every time somebody makes an offering to mission dignity, there we go. Every time you make an offering to that, it goes to help support a widow, a retired pastor's widow. We're fulfilling what the Bible has told us to do. And I want to thank you this morning, as your pastor this morning, for your generosity in giving. But I want to say this, we need to continue. There's so much work that's left to be done. There's so much to be done. But I don't want you to feel restrained to give. I believe in my heart in grace giving, and I believe that your giving should be in accordance to what God has laid on your heart. And I will never, I pray that I will never try to guilt somebody into giving, because that's between you and God. And if God says to give this or give that, or help with our youth, or help with the PA system, or help with something else that needs to be done through here, you do what God has given you to do, folks, because it is a joy. It is a joy to give by grace. You're saved by grace. We're to live by grace. And so today, we've looked at giving by grace.